This morning, I'm going to try to help and encourage. A couple weeks ago, I preached or taught a series on how to be witnesses. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. And this was one of the final lessons that I did. And as I'll get into it a little bit, there were some things that the Lord kind of put in place in our ministries that this message came from. But I think it'll be a help to you this morning. I'm going to try to teach as much as possible in this hour and be a help to you. But with that, I also understand as a teacher that what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. So I actually have a handout that I'd like to give to you that when we get to the second part of the lesson, I'd like you to work through it with me as we go through it. So I'll start out with this. I want to talk about the two tools. I understand prayer is certainly a tool that we're given for soul winning, but I'm saying when we're at the door, when we're talking to somebody about soul winning, maybe it's a coworker and we want to be a testimony to them, God's given us two distinct tools that we can use. One would be the Word of God. Obviously, we don't want to lead someone to the Lord without giving them the Word of God. And so the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I encourage my people, and I would encourage you, maybe say, well, I'm not as fluent going through the Romans road or John 1 or a certain direction that you would take somebody through salvation. I would encourage you, as I did when I first started trying to reach people, go through and even mark in the margins, or I've seen some people that have little sticky tabs on the side of their Bible that will take them to the next verse. And you say, well, that's kind of embarrassing. People will know that I don't know what I'm doing. No, they understand you're a human being. And we want to use the Word of God. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit drawing all men to himself. And so through the Word of God, God will draw us. But if I can also encourage you, have Scripture memorized. We started last year a monthly verse memory with our church and trying to get people to memorize the Bible. And so many of them, I can't memorize the Bible. I can't memorize the Bible. Well, the Bible says in John 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. It's a whole lot easier to show the unbeliever scriptures in the Bible if you have them memorized. Think about the mind. The mind is so much like a computer. When you go to a computer and you want to pull up something on that computer, you can't pull something up on that computer that was never put into the computer. And so if we have not worked into memorizing scripture in our mind and putting it into our heart, when we're standing before somebody, if you're a soul winner and you've been telling other people about Christ, you will be able to say, yes, you're right there. You're standing in front of someone. If you're like me, you're nervous. Your words may even start jumbling together. But all of a sudden, verses will come to your mind. You say, where did that? I don't remember that verse. I don't remember when I learned that verse. The Holy Spirit brings it to your mind because the Bible tells us the Comforter will do so. So we have the idea of planting the seed, the Word of God, into people's hearts. But I want to talk this morning a little bit more on this idea of the second tool that we are given to share the gospel with other people. And that would be our testimony. Your testimony. You say, well, I don't have some miraculous, some huge story that will blow your mind away. Let me ask you a question. If you're saved, did Jesus Christ save you from hell? Then you have a testimony that you can share. And what you can share with other people is, let me tell you what God has done for me. So this lesson was actually kind of put together in my mind, started the process of putting this together when one of our young people, in June, we started a youth group, and we've got a book that we work through on Wednesday nights, and there's different things they have to do in order to gain rank. So it's set up military style. We just had a promotion last Sunday, and some of the girls went to corporal, and so I told the guys, you got to salute the girls because they're higher ranked than you. But anyway, one of the things that they have to do shortly after they start this process is talk to me or the girls to my wife about salvation and explain their salvation. The next time they have to write their salvation testimony. And so back last January, about a year ago from now, one of the teenage girls, she got baptized, and I had sat with her, and I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, I was very confident in her salvation. And it came to this time that she had to talk with one of us about salvation. So she sat with my wife, and my wife came back to me, and she said, I believe she's saved, but she's not confident in, you know, her testimony. So on the next time, when we sat down, I said, well, let's sit down and write some of these things out. Of course, a lot of these public school kids couldn't write a paragraph unless you walked them through it and told them exactly what to do. So I said, let's go through some things and figure out your salvation testimony. And she did that with me. And I'm telling you, it solidified in her mind. Amen. And it gave her confidence that she knew exactly how she got saved. And then some other young men, 20-year-olds, last September, Brother Joel Haynes was out preaching our revival, and these guys came, and they got saved that Sunday. And I was talking to them after their baptism and how important it was for them to know their salvation testimony. And I asked them a question. I said, you guys have come for a couple weeks, 3 months now. How many of you of the three or four guys have heard my salvation testimony? And they all said, we've probably heard it 3 or 4 times. And as I started thinking through that, I think to the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 9, I believe it is where the Apostle Paul, we see the Apostle Paul accept Christ as a Savior, and elsewhere through Scripture, he repeats his salvation testimony. Why? Because it's a powerful tool to bring other people to Christ. They will see you are just an ordinary person were it not for the grace of God. And so could I take you through this morning again? If I could ask you as we go through this, I'll kind of share some of my personal testimony as we go through this. But I've got this handout here that's broken down into 12 questions. That if you put these things down on this, and then in the last page, take those 12 things and write it into paragraph form, you're going to have your testimony. You say, well, what do I do with that? If you don't have it memorized, if you're not completely sure about it, keep it in your Bible. And when you're talking to somebody, hey, can I share this with you? And so how I tried to break it down, again, I'm sure other people could come up with a testimony different. But the first 6 questions would be relating to the overall setting of your salvation. We'll get into that. And then the last 7 through 11 would be relating to what you did personally for salvation. And then number 12, obviously, I don't believe baptism is part of salvation, but it is on there as far as when you got baptized, because that can be an encouragement in your testimony to help someone follow the Lord in baptism. So let me go through this with you again. I'll give you a couple moments to write down some thoughts under each of these. And again, I think it's important that you write these things down if you have a pen. If you don't, I have 3. No, I have 2. I had 3, but I have 1 now. All right. But I'll write them down, and I think it'll be helpful for you to be able to put this together. So the first question, or the first thing to write down, the first fact that you can write down, is the events surrounding your salvation. Now, maybe you grew up in church, and for me, there wasn't it wasn't like all of a sudden a explosion went off, or it wasn't maybe it would be surrounding a funeral, or surrounding revival service, or maybe you had a car accident or something that kind of directed your attention to this idea of salvation. For me, I grew up in a Christian home. I went to a Christian school. I had heard all these things, but when I was 3, my sister was sitting in the dining room the kitchen with my mom, and my mom was showing her how to get saved. And I thought to myself, I'm not going to have my sister do something that I'm not going to do. She was 1 year older than me, This whole philosophy went so far as I ran a marathon when I was 14 because my sister was running one, and she was not going to do something that I wouldn't do. All right, so this competitiveness goes a long ways in our family. And so she was sitting there talking to Mom, and I remember going to Mom and saying, I want to do that too. But I don't have any. I know she led me through verses, and she wasn't doing it out of let's rush him through salvation. But I didn't understand that as a young person. And so from the age of 3 to the age of 9, I went through this battle inside of everybody thinks I'm saved. Even my parents think I'm saved. But finally, when I was 12 years old, I stopped. I was actually sitting in school. I was sitting in math class just like any other young boy, not paying attention. But this time it was good because it was the Holy Spirit that had my attention. And I can remember sitting in the front row, looking up front and thinking to myself, my sin was sending me to hell. And so if I could ask you there in that first point there, the events, something, what was going on in your life when you began to realize your need for salvation? All right, the second thing would be where were you when you got saved? Were you at home? Thankfully, you don't have to be in church to get saved. You may be in, I've heard people in their vehicles. I've heard people at home. I've heard people all different places that got saved. I actually was in my dad's maintenance shop. It doesn't have to be church. And so I'd ask you to write down there, where were you when you got saved? You may not, especially if you're older, maybe don't remember number 3 exactly, but when did you get saved? For me, it was November 3rd, 1999. I remember that very distinctly. I got baptized a week later, but you may not know the exact day, the exact time, but you know when you got saved. And so if I could encourage you to write that down. Number 4 would be, was there a specific passage that was used to help you see your need for salvation? I guess number 4 was there preaching? Who was preaching? So if you're in church, maybe you'd see right now and so-and-so was preaching. And then number 5, was there a specific passage that was used in the preaching time that helped draw your thoughts to this idea of salvation? Again, we just talked about the importance of the Bible being used for bringing people to Christ. And that would be the question there. What was the passage? Number 6, what thoughts were being used during that time to help you see your need for salvation? For me, it was the weight of my sin. The payment that my sin was going to cause for me. I was going to go to hell because of my sin. And oftentimes talking to people counseling and talking through salvation with them after a service or something, they'll say, you know, Pastor, you made this statement, and that thought was what grabbed my attention. If there's something like that, I would ask you to write it down there. And then number 7, this kind of goes into, so it takes it out of the overall setting. Maybe it was a church service. Maybe it was something else going on. And now we're going to bring it to ourselves, to our personal decision. And I'd ask you, as we get through this, when I was teaching this at our church just a few weeks ago, a man came to me afterwards, and he said, you know, Pastor, and he went all the way back to 2005, and he began to lay out his testimony of salvation. And he said, you know, in 2005, I was married, and there are some things that took place in my life, and I could tell the Holy Spirit was drawing me. And then he went to 2013 and 2016 and talked about all these things happening. And in 2020, his wife got saved as a result of COVID. All the other churches were closed in their area, but there's a Baptist church open in Massachusetts. And so she went there and she got saved, and the pastor began to work with them. And he says, I just see the Holy Spirit drawing me to him. And as we got down here, we'll get to question number 10 in just a minute, but he said, you know, I couldn't figure out the answer to question 10. So question seven is, what verses, did you talk with someone? Not that you have to, but a lot of times that helps somebody understand salvation and write down their name. I talked to my dad in his maintenance shop there at the school, and he showed me some verses, many verses. Romans, went through the Romans road with me and showed me all these truths as far as all have sinned. The payment of sin is death. But God loved us and sent his son to die for us. And I call upon his name, confess my sin, confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in my heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so those were verses that really the Romans wrote is what my dad used for me. And through that, again, that overwhelming thought for me was I need Christ payment for my sin. But that man in our church, we got to question number 10. And he said, I cannot figure out the answer to question 10. And that question is this. What did you personally do to receive that the free gift of salvation? In that moment, what did you do? See, this man had been drawn by the Holy Spirit for years and years and years. But he said, I don't know exactly what I've done to receive salvation. Give you this illustration that I've used often is the Bible calls salvation a free gift. The gift is available. And so I think about Christmas time, and let's just say one of my daughters, I have a 9-year-old and a 12-year-old, and we put a present under the tree. We'll say Alyssa because she seems the one that would do something like this. We put Alyssa's present under the tree, and it has her name on it. And she sees it on Christmas Eve, and she's all excited about this gift that she's going to get on Christmas Day. And Christmas morning, we wake up, and all the presents are there. And we sit down, and we all open up our presents. But that present that we put under the tree for Alyssa is still there. Is that present hers? It's for her. But it's not hers yet. It is not hers until she takes that present. Right. And brings it into her possession. So by the time we all finish opening our presents, that present is still there. It's available for her, but she still has not taken it. And if we go all through Christmas Day and we go to close out the day and go to bed and that present is still there, it's still not hers. She has not enjoyed it. She hasn't seen what it can do. She doesn't know anything about the present until she takes the present. And that's why I say this idea of salvation, question number 10, what did you do to receive salvation? See, Mr. Bill in our church came to me and he said, I don't know what I've done to receive it. I said, Bill, you're just like that my daughter with that present. If she has not taken it, it's not hers. And he said, you're exactly right. I've not received it myself. And if you look at in that night, he trusted Christ as his Savior. Got it settled. And he came back in and told his wife, he said, I just want you to know that I've taken salvation for myself. If you can't answer question number 10, what did you do? It's not a hard question to answer if you've been saved. Right. I prayed and asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sin and be my Savior. But if you can't answer that, can I encourage you today? Trust Christ as your Savior. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And number 11, I love this thought because after I trusted Christ as my Savior, I went home. We lived there on the school property, and I went into the house there where we lived and walked back into my sister's rooms, and I said, you're not going to believe what happened. I got saved today. I remember there's a young boy in our youth group that he was we met, and I took him out and dealt with him with salvation, and he stood up after he got saved, and he goes, I got saved! And he came back into the room with all the kids. And I said, you want to tell him anything? He said, I'm saved. because it made a difference. And he was, and you say, well, I wasn't, you know, brought out of the drug addicted life or the alcohol, or maybe you were, or whatever. You still had that weight of sin that was taken off of you. And when you're talking to someone about salvation, use that to show them salvation's worth it. It's not a bad thing to trust Christ as your Savior. I was relieved. The pressure of my sin was taken off of me, and it was on Jesus. How did you feel in that moment? And then I mentioned number 12 there quickly about the idea of getting baptized. I got baptized the very next Sunday, a week later, but maybe you're not sure exactly the day that you got baptized or something. But the idea is to encourage them. And so those 12 things, if you were to take those facts, put them into a paragraph form, you're going to have your salvation testimony. And I would encourage you from that point, take that salvation testimony and share it with other people. It's interesting, I mentioned already the times that the Apostle Paul shares his own testimony. In Acts chapter 22, verse 1 through 6, he gives his testimony to the multitude. I think anybody here that's been in church for a while would be able to tell you how Paul got saved, because he says it. And then in Acts chapter 26, verse 1 through 20, he gives his testimony to King Agrippa. Can I share with you one more thought as we close the Sunday school lesson this morning from Revelation chapter 12? I'd like to show you why also it is important to have your testimony down. After I taught this lesson to our church, this thought just kept coming back to my mind, Revelation chapter 12, not only are these tools used to bring other people to Christ, but these are both tools, the Word of God, the Gospel, and our testimony that will help you when you face temptation from the devil. Because Revelation chapter 12, verse number 10 says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren." Who is the accuser of the brethren? Satan. The accuser of the brethren is cast down. I would like to know in my life how the devil is cast down. Well, let's read on. It says, "Which accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him." I want to know how to overcome the devil. How? What did they use to overcome the devil? "By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." Those two things. How do we access the blood of the Lamb? Through salvation, through the gospel. I want to know the gospel. I want to be able to share the gospel with other people because it also protects me and my testimony. There have been times since I trusted Christ in 1999, that the devil has perched on my shoulder and discouraged me and got me so far out of line spiritually that I've wanted to throw in the towel. I can remember as a freshman in college sitting in the gymnasium, the lights were off, it was dark, and I just thought to myself, God, I don't think it's worth it anymore. I've tried to live right. I've tried to turn my life around. I've tried to get some things going in the right direction. And it's just, I just don't see it being worth it. And you know what I had to do? I went to the Lord in prayer with a friend of mine that came in and at that time, at the right time, put his arm around me and said, "Let's go to the Lord in prayer." And then I went back to my salvation testimony. And I said, "Devil, let me tell you a little bit of something. I know. And you can't take that day away from me." And I told those young men in our church, I said, "You know why I share my testimony so often? It's not always because I'm so excited about it. Sometimes I get my testimony out and share it because the devil's trying to get me down." And I can go right back to that day and say, "Devil, let me tell you what happened on November 3rd, 1999. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior." And guess what happens in that moment? the accuser of the brethren is cast down. It worked in Revelation. It can work in your life. Take your testimony, rehearse it in your mind. Keep it familiar. Keep salvation, your testimony, on the tip of your tongue. Because it might be someone's eternal destiny that it's able to help, but it also might be that victory over the devil that you're able to have. God gives us these things to be able to use the word of God and our testimony. Let me encourage you. Why is it important to put my testimony down? There's things that have happened over the last 10 years in my life that all the details are not as familiar in my mind anymore. It's called something called age. And I know I'm not that old. We started our church 5 years ago, and every pastor that comes through and we show them our building and all the blessings that God said, almost every one of them says, "Do you have these things written down? Because you won't remember all the facts. Write it down. You'll know you're saved, but there's something special about being able to share your testimony with other people. The details, the specifics of what God did for you.